We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to talk all things Dirty Birds. It's Falcons Flyover. With John Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And welcome back into the John Chuckery Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Halfway home with you here on a Friday night. Don't forget to download the Radio.com app. That's important because that is your way to listen to us outside of the car. Of course, you can listen on your computer as well at 92.9TheGame.com. But the Radio.com app, put that on your smartphone, your smart speakers, your Commodore 64, your Walkman, CD player, whatever you got for a device. Social media for the stations at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. That's all the platforms available to you. Our personal Twitter handles to follow us and be a part of the show, at JMCH316. He's at JarvisD90, and this is our nightly look at all things Atlanta Falcons. So D-Lad, he teased this the other night, actually put a two-day tease, or maybe a one-day tease, on all of this. Has come out with his Bowtie Chronicle Mock Draft 2.0. Now, he goes through the entire first round of the NFL draft. So, very quickly, here's what D-Led is thinking as far as how the draft goes. The Bengals take Burrow at 1, Redskins Chase Young at 2, Detroit Lions Okuda at 3, Isaiah Simmons goes to the Giants at 4, Tua to the Dolphins at 5, Justin Herbert to the Chargers at 6, Derek Brown of Auburn to Carolina at 7. God, how much would that suck, huh? Jeez. What, that would suck. I forgot. I wasn't even thinking about that. That sucks. Andrew Thomas of Georgia to Arizona at 8. Javon Kinlaw at 9. So he's like us, Jarvis. He believes that Kinlaw is going to be a top 10 pick, and I do believe that as well. I don't think he's fallen to 16 to the Falcons. I when you talk about 6'6", 309, plays anywhere on the defensive line, he's just got so much going on, and I think people just love his upside. I'm just not buying the idea that he's going to fall to 16. Man, there has unfortunately, if he's dropping to 16, either some kind of injury thing came up or something personal came up that dropped him that far. Tristan Wirfs, the tackle out of Iowa, to the Browns at 10. Mekhi Becton out of Louisville at 11. Jerry Jeudy goes off the board as a first wide receiver to the Raiders at 12. Henry Ruggs right after that is an Alabama teammate at 13 to Frisco. They need a wide receiver in a big way. Tampa gets Xavier McKinney out of Alabama. That's another guy some people thought would be looking good for the Falcons. Jedrick Willis out of Alabama at 15. And then at 16, the Atlanta Falcons take defensive back out of Florida, C.J. Henderson. The Falcons have replaced Drew Font. Henderson is comfortable playing man-to-man coverage. We played a lot back Florida. Press was our main go-to, so that's something I'm very comfortable with. He played our former Georgia defensive coordinator Todd Grantham in Florida. He mixes up a lot of coverages, so it was very different for us compared to freshman year, mostly one coverage. So it was very different. So, you know, I'm not going to be surprised at all if that's the pick at this point. There is a big hole at defensive back, but boy, I mean, you know, listen, the reality is if you got, you know, Henderson, Sheffield, Isaiah Oliver, I mean, I think some of those guys can be good players in maybe 2 or 3 years, but that's asking a lot of a very young group of, you know, corners to play, you know, against obviously some very good quarterbacks in the division, very good quarterbacks across the league. You better have a good pass rush is all I can tell you. I mean, it's going to be a big key is, can this team have that big pass rush to go along with it? So I'm not going to be surprised. There does seem to be a lot of validity in the idea that they will draft corner because, you know, if you're drafting a pass rusher in the first round, I guess you're probably saying that Tack McKinley shouldn't be your starter, right? And they decided to bring him back, so I don't know. I mean, it's such a glaring weakness at pass rush that, I just feel like that there's just not, you can't have enough guys. And I don't think they have enough guys. So, you know, even with Fowler, they just don't have enough people to generate enough sacks. And obviously we talked about this week, no more Jack Crawford. He's moved on. Adrian Claiborne has signed and moved on. So, you know, some of the guys that provided at least some help in the rotation, those guys are gone. And where are those sacks going to come from? Are you telling me that Deidre Sinnott makes a move and the interior defensive tackle, Tyler Davison can get to the quarterback? I don't know. I mean, it just seems like such a glaring weakness. I understand corner. If they sit at 16, that's probably the best pick for them at that spot. All right, Dan Quinn talking with Sports Illustrated on Wednesday, talking to Albert Breer. We've had him on the show before. I guess Dan has been getting to know, through Alabama coach Nick Saban, this mental conditioning coach, Trev Mowad, M-O-A-W-A-D. So Trev Mowad, I'm sure I'm probably butchering that name, but that's what we use for now on it. So I guess, Dan learned about this through Alabama head coach Nick Saban. I guess Mowad went through themes from his new book, It Takes What It Takes, in emphasizing the power in staying neutral through adversity. He told the Falcons coaches that minimizing negativity is way more powerful than just trying to be positive. And he said that even though it is difficult to stay positive now, the coaches could control what they watch and listen to and who they talk to, and there's power in that too. Okay. So that's who Dan Quinn has been leaning on, I guess, in his staff as well. Talking to Albert Breer, Quinn said, staying connected has been a good deal. We wish the term had been physically distanced but socially connected instead of social distancing, Quinn said with a laugh from his home office. Physically distance is okay, but staying connected socially is the big piece for me. I've enjoyed calls with players, FaceTime with players on our team, just checking in where they're at. There's been a lot of changes for guys in the off season that they're having to deal with. We're all battling through that together. It's way better to talk about it. So, we shall see what happens with all of this. I mean, obviously lots of pressure on Dan because they got to get it done. You know, the reality is that they got to get it done this year. So, with all due respect to, what's this guy's name? Trev Mowad. You know, I hope he's not putting things like fast and physical, Hunger Games indexes, the Bears loose, do right longer. All the bumper stickers that are out there. How about let's not talk and let's go win football games? That's what I'm about. That's what I'm about. So, just looking through here, any other last thoughts that he had about all of it. One of the reasons that he thought it was important to incorporate this guy into his schedule, he said his message really encapsulated what they were doing. Quinn saying, I'm trying to stay in the here and now. Will we have an off season? Won't we have an off season? Let's control what we can, which is totally, hey, if we have to start some sort of it virtually, then let's start one kick-ass virtual program. Good Lord. You know what? I want to go home now. I am home. Hell, damn. I told them at one point our goal was to be the best stay-at-home football coaches. Finding fun ways to go after it. It's been a good challenge. You're always up for a good challenge. As opposed to bitching about it, it gives you some juice. There's a lot of negative reports out there. If you listen to them all, it can bring you down, so we're choosing the other way. This is the information now. Let's go after whatever we can in the meantime and find ways to provide great teaching and some uplifting as opposed to all of the negative start. Yeah. What's that line there? Let me go back to that. What's that line? We want to have a, let's see here. If we have to start some of it virtually, then let's start one kick-ass virtual program. I guess that means the bear is loose for everything. Okay. So, as we still have free agency available to the Atlanta Falcons, and of course, you know, we probably have to realistically eye that June 2nd date when some money becomes available. And there's been a lot of talk that several guys have said that they're going to wait until they can figure out what kind of season we're going to have, or, you know, what's going to happen with the season and training camps and all that. So I have a feeling that there's going to be a kind of second real free agent signing period where some of these guys sort of figure out what's the money left, where can I shake out, where can I go, when are we playing, you know, things like that. Who's been drafted, that and what teams may need me more than another. So, you know, when you start talking about some of the different names that are out there, Joe Flacco, Cam Newton, Jadeveon Clowney, you know, there are some guys that if you're looking at certain positions, okay, if we're talking about trying to find guys along the defensive line that could be, you know, an aid in trying to sack the quarterback out there, or linebacker as far as that goes as well. Of course, we talked a lot about the idea of Clay Matthews being available out there. You've got guys like Xavier Williams at defensive tackle. Trying to see Jerron Reed out of Seattle. There are a few interesting names, and there are a few guys that, you know, if you want to go older, you know, guys like Ezekiel Ansah, 31 for Seattle, Everson Griffin, the 32-year-old for Minnesota. We talked about the Jadeveon Clowney out there. Vinnie Curry is a guy that's out there. Cameron Wake is a guy that is out there. Jonathan Jenkins is a guy that is out there. So there are some guys that, truthfully, you know, they may be some more name than game, but are some of those guys, would they be willing to come in to this organization and try to be part of something special? You know, would they be willing to come in here and maybe play again on one of these one-year, on-the-cheap type of deals? Now, let me ask you a question. With the Falcons freeing up some money after June 2nd, would that give them the ability to go after Marcus Golden, the outside linebacker, free agent 29 from the New York Giants? He's a guy that we talked about. Boy, he might be a nice fit. Boy, he can sack the quarterback. Would the $10 million that they free up, and listen, they could still go back to Julio, or they could still find more money if they wanted to, right? That's how it works. You can. They could find some money. Grady, Debo, they've got some guys that they could find some money from. Would Marcus Golden be a guy that as you get into June, would you be willing to take a look at him? You want one more splash, or Clay Matthews for that one last splash? I think a lot of these guys are going to wait for a while because there's no real reason to have to sign very quickly through all of this. All right, when we get back, it's going to be time for That's Life as we enter into a whole new world out there as Shelter in Place is officially underway. We'll talk about lots of different things coming up next. It is the John Chuckman Show, hanging out with you here on a Friday night, Sports Radio 99 The Game, and on the Radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show, 9:22 on a Friday night. You know what time it is.
That's life.
That's life.
That's what all the people say.
404-741-0929. That is the phone line. That is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of our show. Download your radio.com app. Do that today to be sure that you can catch us anywhere on the go. Follow us on social media. You can catch me at JMCH316, at JMCH316. He is at JarvisD90. Jarvis, I had to laugh. Somebody on the text line said that They said thank you for the recommendation. He says, Chucker, I've been to QT for ice cream cones the last two straight days. Thanks for the recommendation. Listen, I'm telling you, for 53 cents, man, you can't beat it. It's like 6 or 7 inches high, and it's 53 cents. It's a hell of a deal. But I'm not telling you to live an unhealthy lifestyle, though. I don't want to be accused of getting anybody unhealthy or any sort of thing like that. So, but anyway. Well, obviously, shelter in place and everything going on, and that all started up, I guess, at 6 o'clock officially in the state of Georgia tonight. And, you know, I was talking to my ex-wife a couple of weeks ago. I think we all thought that this was going to happen or whatever like that. And her and my daughter were saying that they had been going to stores and stuff and getting some stuff to, like, hunker down and stuff like that. And she was talking about getting board games and stuff like that. Now, Jarvis, do you know what board games are? Are you familiar with board games? Did you play board games at all as a kid? Did you have anything like that? Okay, all right. So Jarvis is familiar with it, because the first thing that popped in my head is, does an 11-year-old know what a board game is? Because my daughter does some. She's played Candyland and Operation and some of those things, but you know, I wonder how many kids know about board games. Do you know how many hours of our youth, like if it was pouring down rain? Or I remember even as a kid when I was, you know, like first getting into teenager years, we would have like sleepovers and play Risk. Anybody remember the game Risk? With the, you know, like you had to conquer the different countries and stuff like that. Like we would have like, I don't know, 6 of us that played Risk. And it would take like all night. It'd literally take like 8 or 10 hours to play one game of Risk. You know, or play Monopoly, you know, or Life? And I had all those board games as a kid growing up because, you know, we didn't have the technology. There wasn't, you know, smartphones and you know, computers. I mean, you know, look, the computers that I started learning on as a kid, to put my oldness in perspective, when we first got computers in school, and I think I was in 5th or 6th grade when we got computers, man, they were Texas Instruments with DOS on them. And you would use floppy disks and stuff like that. And I remember I had a Commodore 64, then I had a Commodore 128. You know, we thought we were living large with the Commodore 128. And I would play, they had a game on there, Jarvis. It was Dr. J versus Larry Bird. It was like an old school one-on-one basketball game that had like graphics that looked like, you know, the guys were in dots on your screen. But that's what we did. You know, I mean, that's what we did. But we played lots of board games. And I had to just kind of laugh when my ex said that because, you know, we went to Walmart and we're looking at some of the board. I mean, some of the board games are just dumb. I mean, you know, my daughter's got some of those where, like, you pick boogers out of a guy's nose, or you, like, fill up this pig until it, like, blows its stomach open. There's some, and like there's one, she's got doggy do that you make your dog poop. there's some really stupid like board games that are out there. But I mean, if you're quarantined and you're hunkered down for a long time, you know, and I'm not a TV guy, so the idea of watching Netflix or something, but how long can you do all that? I guess if you're a TV junkie, you've got like hours and hours and hours of that stuff that you can do. But I mean, at some point, don't you want something a little bit different, whatever like that, or make you think a little bit more? And I'm all for like board games. We used to play Trivial Pursuit, Uno. You know, we'd play all those kinds of games. You know, we'd have, you know, 5 people and we play Trivial Pursuit and stuff like that. And I'm old enough to remember when that was like a thing for couples to get together for like game night. Like you'd play Trivial Pursuit or what was it, Pictionary and some of the stuff like that. But I don't even know if kids know what some of that stuff is. Like if I put Risk out on a table with like five people, would they even have any idea what the game Risk is or how to play or how you do it? Because, I mean, we would play for hours and hours and hours on some of that stuff. We could just kill an entire day or night. Like I said, you know, we'd have sleepovers because, you know, eat dinner, And then after dinner and stuff like that, like, you know, like on a Friday night, you know, when we were like, I don't know, 10 or 11 years old or something like that, you know, or 12 years old, play, you know, have like a few of my classmates over, and, you know, we'd play games of Risk all night long. Like, we wouldn't sleep. Like these games would, like, take forever, you know, because just, if you don't know what Risk is, you got to conquer different lands and things like that. But the funny part is, like, all these games, too, now are online. So the idea of, like, going to the store and buying Monopoly and playing, like, actually sitting down at a dining room table and playing the game of Monopoly, when nowadays everybody plays it on their device, right? You play it on your device, on your phone, or your, you know, whatever. I guarantee you there's all kinds of Monopoly apps that you can download. So that's how everybody does everything. They do it all, like, digital, and you don't need people involved. Or they do it online, right? I'm sure some of those games you can play are online. Not that I'm real crazy about that for, you know, 11-year-old, but I'm sure some of this stuff you can play online. Hell, you can play poker and everything else online. I'm sure you can play, like, Monopoly or something online if you wanted to. It's a whole new world, but, you know, I just had to laugh when my ex was talking about that, when trying to find something for them to do. I don't know if an 11-year-old, and I guess mine does, only because she has done, you know, she's played Candyland and Operation and some stuff like that, so she at least knows what they are and things like that. So, but I don't know if most younger kids, if you said, hey, let's get mom, dad, and the two kids together and let's play Monopoly, you know, on a dining room table, they look at you like, what in the world is this? But man, we love to, you know, we used to love to throw them dice, man. Throw them dice. And sometimes, you know, for side money and stuff like that, you know. So yeah, I mean, you know, we'd throw some bones, you know. I mean it wasn't quite like what was that movie? Oh gosh, the movie that Chaz Palminteri directed with Robert De Niro, A Bronx Tale. You know, it wasn't quite like A Bronx Tale where, like, we had, like, you know, a bunch of old farts and, you know, we lined up and you threw dice against the wall and you know, although I've seen that too. I've been in a couple of back alleyways where some dice got thrown. Jarvis, have you ever been in a back alleyway with some guys and, you know, some bones were getting thrown for some money and stuff like that, and you're throwing some money down and spending? I've seen that before. I'm old enough to remember a few of those kinds of things, but, you know, we didn't. Oh, well, yeah, I mean, yeah. Dice, one of the things was dice, you know. That wasn't nearly as bad as some of the other things, but anyway, without getting into trouble. I did have to laugh. This is for the older audience, what I'm about to describe on here. As one of the things you can do to find comfort during the coronavirus pandemic and your shelter in place and your self-quarantining, thank God the voice of fitness reason, Richard Simmons, has put out a new series of Sweatin' to the Oldies videos. Now, this Jarvis won't know about. He doesn't probably remember who Richard Simmons is, but I'm old enough to remember when Richard Simmons was, like, the thing. He was, like, the workout guy before everybody else. You know, before everybody got into the fitness craze of videotapes and, you know, workouts and stuff like that. Before there was things like DDP Yoga or, what was it? What is it? PX90 or P90 or what? What's one of those other kind of online ones? What is it, Jarvis? Yeah, P90X. Yes. Before all that kind of stuff was a fad, old people and fat people were sweating to the oldies. Richard Simmons, who used to be a fat guy, I guess, when he was younger, finally got himself in shape. And if Richard Simmons became more than just like a fitness guy, he became like a cult figure. Some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen was the stuff he would do on Richard the stuff that Richard Simmons would do on Howard Stern's old TV show. Howard had a TV show on WOR on cable, and some of the stuff that Howard Stern would get him to do, and some of the stuff that he had Richard do on radio was some of the funniest stuff of all time. And what was it? Sanity? Oh, Insanity. Okay. Yeah, before all that kind of stuff that worked out. What was the one with Billy Banks or something like that? What was the one that was like boxing or whatever like that you do? I'm trying to remember now. They had some crazy ones, but yeah, Tybo, yes. Yes. Before all of that became a thing, Richard Simmons was leading the way of VHS videotapes of, like, dancing with old fat people to 1950s rock and roll and stuff. It was some strange stuff, but it's just funny to see Richard Simmons in his 70s now putting out new Sweating to the Oldies videos in 2020. There's Jarvis, probably 8 or 9 people that understand exactly what I'm talking about and get the entire gist of that. Maybe there's 10 or 11. Might be up as many as 10 or 11. All right, when we get back, Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer joined us a little bit earlier to preview WrestleMania. We will replay that interview for you as SmackDown is rolling along and getting ready to finish up here very shortly, the go-home SmackDown before WrestleMania this weekend on Saturday and Sunday. That's all coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, coming to you live on Sports Radio 99 The Game and on the Radio.com app.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.